up, if you will. Hey, you know what? Thank you so much, Pastor Jeremy. But right in the midst of that, let's just go ahead and act upon that. Can I get you to jump back on your feet and let's just give a thanksgiving unto God. We are thankful for the country we're in, but we want to give a thanks unto God in the name of Jesus. Those that are online, can I get you to get up off your couch or desk chair and let's just give God a big thank you. Hallelujah to you. Victory belongs to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go ahead and wave at somebody across the attendance or sanctuary, if you will. Thank you. Throw a hi in the chat if that's where you are. Thank you for joining us online. You know, we've had the opportunity and privilege of being able to say hello to different people and people write back. You know what? Just so happened, Pastor, we want you to know we're watching every Sunday. And so we want to thank God for those of us all around the country and oftentimes around the world that are joining in to little small aims because God is doing a good thing here. Somebody say amen. Thank you, online visitors and attenders. I want you all to, you know, not only give a big shout out, but what a gratefulness that even in this week's past mass email, we share thank you for those who are willing to jump in wherever there's a need. Somebody say amen. We had our wonderful Pastor Holly and the wonderful man of God, Brother Peter. Their family is currently on quarantine. I know that they're watching, but we want to thank God for them. One of the children was found that a classmate was tested positive, and so they are doing the responsible and loving thing to protect everyone in the environment and community, and they're quarantined until more can be solidified. But if you all don't mind, can we thank God for them right now, as well as all of those? Binti, Justina, she's back from Kenya. Kelly is there. We just want to give God honor for them. And one more big shout of praise. What about Kobe, Brianna, Joanne, Brother Carter? Let's give God a big praise offering for them filling in right where we need. And everybody said amen. Amen. Well, if you will, you will need your Bibles today. So if you can get your phone or your device out, that would be wonderful. We hope that everyone has felt and experienced welcome. We are in the midst of a Thanksgiving time and praying and desiring. I was in a phone call this week that they began to talk about what they're having on their menu. Or has anybody been there, right? They start talking about what they were going to have. And one person, a doctor, professor, was speaking to another person and says, you got to have yams on Thanksgiving, right? And the other guy said, no yams. You know, we all have different traditions and things of that nature, but they said, Pastor, what are you having? I said, right now, we're just trying to clean our house. Amen. We're just trying to clean our house. We haven't gotten to the menu yet. Are you with me? Amen. Last week, we began something about healing, and it was called Audacious About Healing. Audacious About Healing. Say that with me. Audacious About Healing. Last week, we had a formal introduction to Everyone Heals. Everyone Heals. Here, I want to come back to this because we did not get to this in the second service, and I don't want to miss this very major point. Here is a major reason for audacious about healing. Found in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, it says this. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. With a what? Can I share with you a testimony about what God is doing? Last service, Sister Tridian said that she came in service and was dealing with a cramp in her stomach. She said, while the word was being taught, the God who heals removed it from her and she was delivered from a stomach pain. Come on and give God a praise offering. You too, if you're experiencing such a thing. It says, and he cast out the spirits with a what? And he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus took our infirmities and bore our what? Bore our what? Can I get you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah 53? Turn your Bible to Isaiah 53. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. But there is something specific that we want to share that we were not able to get to. I skipped right over it, and I desire to go back to it because it's a major reason why we believe in Everyone Heals. Amen? I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. I might insert a few other words from the New King James or King James and other traditional translations. But here, starting at verse 1, who has believed our message? Other versions say our report. To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. That last part right there is going to be necessary that we kind of take a look at that. So I can get you to read that with me. It says tender shoot. Ready, set, read. Tender green shoot like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Verse 4. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sin, for his own sins. Everybody see in verse 4, I want anybody have New King James or another translation open right now? Anybody? Right quick. What does it say, Brianna? First verse? Verse 4? Okay. In other translations, some of y'all's versions should have it, ESV, things like that. It should say grief. He bore our grief. He bore our what? Grief. Everybody say grief. Grief. I'll come back to that in just a moment in verse 4. We're at verse 5. Verse 5 says, but he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. And he was whipped so we could be healed. He was whipped so we could be healed. I want to make this small little highlight on a few couple of verses just in this passage. But notice how it says he was beaten. Say beaten. I know that's New Living Translation, but get this. If Jesus was beaten for us, then we need to stop beating up on ourselves. They was a little louder in first verse. Are y'all going to help me out here? Hey, man. How many of you know that some of us become paralyzed or stuck at being able to move forward in the things of God because we have spent energy in beating up on ourselves? Listen, Jesus was beaten so that we don't have to. Jesus was whipped, and by his stripes, we are healed. We have been made whole. So why should we beat up on ourselves about what we have not done when he did it all for us? Glory to Jesus. Stop beating up on yourself. Amen. Verse number 6. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away or gone astray. I'm going to say this again. You know, somebody didn't catch it. Stop beating up on yourself. We're just going to let that marinate a little bit. Listen, let that go. Man of God, woman of God, let that go. Jesus paid it all. Amen. Verse 6. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep is silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth. Isn't that a beautiful example? Verse number 8, unjustly condemned, he was led away. Get this part. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short. His life was what? This is very important. His life was what? Cut short in midstream. some of us understand that this is very powerful. This is a prophetic passage of scripture that Isaiah the prophet, who is named the eagle-eyed prophet, he says by his stripes or by him being whipped, we were what? Healed. We were what? Healed. This is vitally important that you understand that Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus and the cross, and I don't know if you've ever seen the creativity of this design that in essence it makes a cross. Are you with me? And Isaiah is on this side of the cross, hundreds of years ahead, and he says, by his stripes, by him being whipped, by him being beaten, we are healed. He speaks about it in terminologies of present tense. Why? Because he's on this side of the cross and he's looking and he's saying, we are healed, for he saw something that was to come. Glory to Jesus. But do you realize that the apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, he's on the other side of the cross, and therefore he looks back at the cross and he says, it's already happened. It's already been fulfilled. Jesus, the Messiah, has already completed it for us. Therefore, by his stripes, we were healed. You see, Isaiah looks forward. Peter looks back. I don't care which way you look. We are healed. We were healed. We don't have to remain in brokenness anymore. Glory to God. It got so good to me. I lost place of where I was. Amen. So here is this prophetic passage of scripture, and notice that it says that he died without descendants, and this speaks of Jesus. This speaks of Jesus in the sense that, how many of you know he was, as it were, chronologically, he gave up his life around 33 years of age. Midlife, when he should have been at the top or the peak of living things out, and in the midst of it, his life went midstream. And then it says he had no descendants. And I don't care what movies or what comes out or who found something archaeological, it wasn't true. Jesus had nothing going on with anyone. He was pure, without sin. He had nothing going on. No matter how it's depicted improperly with who wrote a play or a script, Jesus was without sin. He was pure. He had nothing going on with Mary or anyone else. He was without descendants. Somebody say amen. The reason this is vitally important is because after the cross, after the resurrection, we now become brothers and sisters. We are now joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have been adopted into the family of God. It's no longer thy only son. It's now we who are the kingdom, who are sons and daughters. We're children of God. Glory to God. Now Jesus has us, who has been birthed from his death, burial, and resurrection. Look what it says in verse 9. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was buried like a what? This is vitally important that this prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus, because on his right and on his left, he died in the middle of those who admittedly say that they were criminals, but he was not, but he died with criminals. Everybody with me? He was taken to jail and prison and beaten and crucified like a criminal. But then it says he was put in a rich man's grave, meaning Joseph of Arimathea. Here he was, a religious leader, and because he was wealthy of sorts, he took the body of Jesus and buried him in a borrowed tomb of his own because he himself was wealthy. So Jesus was dying with criminals but buried where there was wealth. This is the fulfillment of this scripture. This was the what? This is why this is important. Young people especially. Listen. This is not boring literature. This is the very fulfillment that brings about everything that is supernatural in your life. Glory to God. So then it says, verse 10, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. You can understand that and cross-reference that with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, made a what? He will have many descendants. How many know that's us? And he will enjoy a long life. How many know eternity is a long life? And the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that he accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible to many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. Somebody say amen. Amen. We started off as those, that first part of the scripture, but then the righteous servant made us right standing with God. Somebody say amen. Verse 12, I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. And everybody said, amen. The part I want you to see is in verse 4. So write a note there if you don't mind. In verse 4 is vitally important. Verse 4. If you remember what the scripture says in New King James, New American Standard, probably ESV, different translations, traditional translations, it says that he bore our griefs. He bore our what? But here's what I want you to see different in this passage of scripture. You might have to go out back there, Kobe. Thank you. He bore our griefs. The reason this is important because, look, the word griefs in the Hebrew is literally the meaning sicknesses. He bore our sicknesses. He bore our what? Jesus has bore our what? Sicknesses and carried our sorrows. Why is this important biblically? This is important biblically because in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, Isaiah is the one quoted, but you don't find that verse anywhere worded like that in scriptures, that he bore our sicknesses. So why did they translate it like that in the New Testament? Because the original meaning of the word grief is sicknesses. He bore our sicknesses. Therefore, if he bore our sicknesses, we don't have to. Glory to God. Today's message is called, write it down, Concise Simplicity About Healing. Concise simplicity about healing. Say that with me. Concise simplicity about healing. The reason this is important is because I want to share with you 4 points, and as I promised but did not keep it in first service, is if you desire, after these next four slides, you can be dismissed. Because this message is designed to be concise. Everybody with me? Cameron bucked his eyes open. Like, what, Pastor? Yeah. Number one, we promote, prioritize, hold in value supernatural healing is because, look, number one, healing is a sign and fulfillment. This is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. Healing is a sign and a fulfillment. Healing is a what? And a? That this is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. Number two, healing is the announcement and display that the kingdom of heaven has come on earth. Number two, healing is the announcement and the display. Healing is a display. It's a manifestation that the kingdom of heaven has come on earth. Number three, healing manifests the Father's love. Healing is the tangible, manifest expression of the Father's love. And number four, this concise simplicity about healing is we promote, prioritize, and hold in value supernatural healing is because Christ heals hurts inside and out. Come on, somebody. Christ heals hurts inside and out. Let us now have the benediction. Father, in the name, tricked you. That is not what we're going to do. But if you decide, you can go get some waffles now, or you can scoot out and go and spend the time with lunch, because that's the entirety of everything else we're wanting to reveal. Somebody say amen. We want to save the world, number 17. I want to share with you as a subtitle, why BCC values everyone heals. Why BCC values everyone heals. You see, I would like to share with you that if we were to visit the white booklet that we put out in that square, many of you all have one, have them at home, maybe on your coffee table, maybe somewhere where you read or go back and refer to it. Maybe some of you haven't gotten the booklet yet. Pastor Holly had made an offer that we would put out some more. But it literally has these, and it says the vision of BCC is what? Ready, set, read. We are the heart of God in our world. We are what? The heart of God in our world. And our values are simply stated like this. We are Holy Spirit led to be multi-ethnic, to be free in Christ, to be what? And to be hospitable. These are our values of fulfilling the vision. And then we have these particular values to continue or to manifest the expression of this vision. We believe the heart of God is that we would have mercy strategies, that we are God's mercy strategy in times in the earth today. We believe that everyone won. We value that everyone prays. We value that everyone plays. And we value that the supernatural is to be in services and in streets. Is to be where? In services and where else? In the? No matter where you go for Thanksgiving, no matter whose home you're at. It means if you're at grandmother's house or great grandmother's house, if it means that people are coming over to your house or not, or maybe it's just your household because of social distancing or being careful, whoever and wherever God wants you to function, operate in, not just in Turkey, but in truths of healing. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. But today and last week, I now want to officially add and make sure you know that this is a part of our values, is that everyone heals. Say that with me. Everyone heals. Can I get you to say it one more time? Everyone heals. You see, in the booklet, this was excluded purposely and intentionally because I knew that we could not necessarily state something without it necessarily being taught or at least introduced by word, by spoken, by written, and by read. Everybody with me? But when it came to those clouds or in the ceiling in our lobby, we had to put that up because it was time. But the point is that we believe and value that everyone heals. Now, I understand that maybe some of you all are hesitant at reaching in with that. And you think of cases by which you say, well, you know what, Pastor? Everybody, the situations in my life or people I know or a loved one I know, they didn't get healed. I understand that, and I say this with great sensitivity. I likewise have family members in hospitals or loved ones that have passed. I have a cousin that passed, and I believe it was her early 50s, I believe it was, and all of us were saddened greatly. And I do understand that some mothers or whoever it might be may have seemed like their life has been somehow taken prior to. I understand that. But I also want to say, even in my own experiences, what I'm asking for is that we choose something. Are we choosing our experience? Are we choosing what's going on in the world? Or are we going to choose what the Word of God has said about Jesus Christ? You read it verse after verse last week that Jesus healed them all. We're either choosing our own thoughts and theologies that help us explain why something didn't happen rather than what did happen with Jesus, because everyone that touched him, everyone he touched, everyone that came near him, they became healed. So we're choosing the word every time. Glory to God. Amen. You see, John 16 and 33 says this. Maybe this is a good time to insert this. I want y'all to think about this. I want to invite you into an experience. Is that all right? As I shared in first service, Sister Kelly, who was over our children, she was mapping out what the children's curriculum was going to be. So I literally shared with her every week what message was going to preach. This was back in like June. I shared with her June all the way through. So I want you to understand, in November, we were supposed to be teaching and preaching about Everyone Heals. Is everybody with me? But what? How is it, Pastor Turan, from March 15th, ever since coronavirus was hit, I've been around people. I've been praying for people. I've been at services. I mean, I've been in the community. I've been in different places. No COVID. Are you with me? On October 28th, while preparing for Everyone Heals, I contract coronavirus. What? You see, I know what the temptation is for us. Is, oh my, that's going to be embarrassing. How can you be teaching about Everyone Heals and yet you're sick? How can, you know, that's like embarrassing, or, you know, some of us become shameful if something like that happens to us. I don't believe that's of God. Somebody say amen. I really believe with all my heart, yes, it did happen. But right in the midst of it, I am still believing that Jesus heals. I'm not going by what my body went through. I'm going by what Jesus does. And while I'm there with a small headache, I'm still calling on the name of Jesus. Why? Because our Jesus, everyone heals. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Me and Anna Maria taking communion and praying and reading Isaiah 53. Doesn't matter if we have a thermometer in one hand and prayer in the other. We're taking care of the natural. Why? Because John 16, 33 says, for in this world, you will have trials. You will have tribulations. I like to throw in the word test. But you know what Jesus says? Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. Be of what? Come on, talk to me back here. Be of good cheer. Can y'all turn a microphone on for our people online or something? They're quiet up in here. Listen, be of what? Jesus says in translations, it's really only King James and New King James. I don't know if other translations put that. I'll tell you what they put in a minute. It says, be of good cheer. Be of what?
Good cheer.
For I have overcome the world. All other translations says this, take courage. Let's put them back together. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. Or in other words, have joy. Because joy is your strength. And he says, be of good cheer and take courage. What's take courage? Be audacious, for I have overcome the world. Be of joy. Be audacious. I've overcome the world. Glory to God. Can I give you a little more? The word overcomer. You're going to like this, Jay. You're going to like this, Lou. Watch. The word overcomer in the Greek is N-I-K-E. Nike. Nike. Did you get that? Nike. I don't know about tennis shoes, but I do know that I believe in Jesus, who knows how to overcome. Just do it. Jesus just did it. He's the overcomer. He gives us to be more than conquerors. Glory to God. 2 days, two minor symptoms. By the time they called me, I'm already on this roof cleaning the gutters. I'm already outside cleaning the leaves. You know what? Thank you, ma'am. Thanks for my chart on health, but I'm good. I'm good. Everybody say amen. We want to stand in the place of knowing that everyone heals. What happens? Everyone what? Praise God. Brother Michael West, the West family is certainly watching us by now. He gave us this passage, powerful, and I would like to use it to grow in healing. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says from verse 1, and I want to say this as though this was me speaking to you. It says, I hope you will put up with a little more of my folly. Please bear with me, for I am jealous for you with a jealousy of God himself. Somebody say amen. The reason I want to say I'm jealous for you, like a God jealousy, is because I don't want us to walk away and still be unsure about everyone healed. In other words, the word said, not Pastor Turan, that if you read the scriptures, go back and listen to the message, write the scriptures down, study them. Jesus healed them all. And when we don't look at our situation, but we look at Jesus, it transfers our situation to his situation, and his righteousness becomes our righteousness. Rather than us looking at sickness and disease, we begin to see a Savior who saves us from sicknesses and disease. Amen. So it says, I promise you, as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. Look at verse 3. But I fear lest someone, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity and purity that is in Christ. From the what? Simplicity and purity that is in Christ. And what is that simplicity, Pastor Turan? That I am asking of our growth in healing by these simple three things. Only believe the word of God with a pure heart. That's as simple and as pure as it requires for us to watch people go from sickness to healing, to go from hurting to healed, to go from doing things that are against God to being forgiven and living out their righteousness in Christ. I want to ask of you if we would believe the word of God with a pure heart. Somebody say amen. So here are those four, and I'm going to ask that you would read them with me. Ready, set, read. Number one, healing is a sign and fulfillment. This is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one. Number two, ready, set, read. Healing is the announcement and display that the kingdom of heaven has come on earth. Number three, healing manifests the Father's love. And number four, Christ heals hurts inside and out. Somebody say praise God. Amen. Amen. That's the concise simplicity. And this is important. Do you notice that in these, there is nothing in there that's about us? Everybody see that? There's nothing in there about us. What do I mean by that? Is that we are not trying to get some book deal. We're not trying to be made known on television. We're not trying to be known as something that is a falsehood or try to raise up our popularity or be known as some preacher or some church. No, we're talking about genuinely that Jesus heals because he's a healer. Jesus saves because he's a savior. Jesus delivers because he's a deliverer. And we're simply talking about the Messiah, the anointed one who is the Christ. Amen. So why BCC values everyone heals? Please look at this. This is number one. The Messiah would perform signs of healing. This is extremely good notes. It's not that I've written it, but it's just good notes and good narratives to help us digest these truths. Look at the fulfillment of this scripture. Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6. The prophet speaks of the day of salvation this way. Then the eyes of the, you, if I drop out, you fill it in. The eyes of the shall be opened, and the ears of the unstopped. Then shall the man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Somebody say amen. Look at this. This passage of scripture is written prior to Jesus, prior to him saving the world. And therefore, in Matthew 11, 4 through 6, notice what it happens. This is the passage of scripture where John the Baptist has just been in prison. And in his perplexity of how come Jesus didn't come and see me? How come he didn't come and set me free? If the Messiah has come, Matthew 11, 4, 6, this is what Jesus sends back. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Somebody say amen. I'm going to have y'all throw in a few amens on y'all own. Are y'all right with me on that? Like a praise the Lord every now and then, like a hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, something, amen. So as you can see, Jesus fulfilled as the Messiah healing. Jesus as the Messiah fulfilled healing. Signs that he was the Messiah. Glory to God. Look at this. Jesus alluded to other passages besides Isaiah 35, which speaks of the blind, the deaf, the lame, and the mute. Isaiah 26, verse 19 says, your dead shall live. Isaiah 29, 18 says, also refers to the healing of the deaf and the blind. While Isaiah 61, 1 says, speaking of bringing good news to the poor, which Jesus quoted when he was talking about being anointed with the Holy Spirit in Luke 4, 18 to 19. Jesus, the Messiah, would perform signs of healing. Glory to God. Everybody turn their Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Please don't get bored with me. Amen. You have not eaten turkey yet. Come on, somebody. You're not falling asleep. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 10. The reason I'm having you read this in your own Bible is because this is a major passage of scripture for BCC to understand how we're supposed to be supernatural in services and streets. How else are we going to be able to fulfill where everyone heals? Can you imagine if people came and more people got healed in services? Can you imagine that people near your house or apartment or people in your cubicle or across the street began to be healed as a result of everyone heals in our lives? Somebody say praise God. In verse 1, it says this. I want to read verse 1. It says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority. The word there is power, power and authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Everybody see that? Jump down, if you will, to verse 7. It says, go and announce. Go and do what? New Living Translation says, announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. That the kingdom of heaven is where?
Near.
Is near. Look at verse 8. What comes after the kingdom of heaven is near? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Look at the notes up front. This is the kingdom of heaven is near, is here, and has come. Heal the sick. Healing the sick is a part of the kingdom. Look what it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 9. And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God has come near to you. What is the kingdom of God? The king's rule, reign, supremacy, and dominion. I know this is tedious preaching, but listen. The king's rule, reign, supremacy, and dominion. Listen, no one else or nothing else has supremacy or dominion over your life. Only Jesus the King. Amen. And it means God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Say that with me. God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Thanks be to God. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Just go back one chapter. Notice that God's Father's love is compassionate mercy, which is the Hebrew word that we've taught on extensively, the word chesed. The word chesed is a Hebrew word, and I need us to understand the depth of why we've latched a hold of that. And I wished I could draw you to latch a hold of it, besides the way I say it funny and spit all the time. Amen? It's more about this word, which has comprised in it loving kindness. Loving and kindness. Loving kindness is in the word chesed. The word grace is in the word chesed. Where the grace of God comes upon the Son and he's full of it is because his Father was full of it first in the comprised understanding of the word chesed. The word chesed means mercy. It means compassion. The word chesed is the very reason that God even created humanity before he breathed life into Adam. It was the purpose by which he creates humans because of this loving kindness, this grace and mercy. It's God's nature to be loving. God can never be anything but loving because he's chesed. Amen. So when we look at this, healing is God the Father's love, which is compassionate mercy. So we remember in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 8, this is the passage of scripture where Jesus heals the paralytic and he forgives him. This is where the friends come in and lower him down in the midst of a jammed in house. But in the middle of it, that Jesus tells him to pick up his mat and leave, and your sins are forgiven. Say amen. So right there, I want you to notice what comes next in Matthew chapter 9. I know you've turned back there, so look at this. We're going to read starting at verse 9. This is one of my absolute most favorite passages of scripture for us. It says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple. Jesus said to him, so Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Look at that. Who should we hang out with? But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? Is anybody seeing this? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I know Jesus is using this as a metaphor, a simile, but how many know it also is a truth? And the truth of it is that sick people don't need a doctor. I mean, sick people need a doctor. What does Jesus go on further to say? Then he added, now go and learn this meaning of scripture. I want you to show mercy. I want you to show chesed. I want you to show compassion. I want you to do this on behalf of the world you're living in, not other sacrifices. For I have come to call those who think they are right. I did not come to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Somebody say amen. Amen. All I'm trying to get us to hear and see is that instead of us trying to find out why he had to go to jail, why don't we simply be a part of helping him be freed while he's in jail? All I'm trying to get you to understand is, yes, I understand that, you know, we try to find out more about he shouldn't have been smoking because now he has lung cancer. I think we could be thinking about how can God move mercifully on his life so that the strategy is that he would encounter Jesus and God's mercy and be freed from it. I understand that that person may not be very kind or nice to people around them, and people run away from them and not want to necessarily be with them. But instead of running away from them, maybe we should run to people that are lonely with the mercy of God. Glory to Jesus. Somebody say amen. Praise God. God's Father's love. Listen, I said this in first service. I know this is a lot of reading and I understand it can be tiring, but listen, this is very good narrative and helps us digest maybe on a more written form of what we are attempting to preach. So let me read this as you listen. Follow along on your screens and also on the slides, if you will, online. It says, Christ's miracles recorded in the gospel are signs of the divine omnipotence and the, Pastor Jeremy, help me, power of the Son of God, of the Son of Man. They also reveal God's love for humanity. That word, means, the meaning of it is things that lead to salvation. Power of the Son of God. They also reveal God's love for humanity, particularly for those who suffer, who are in need, who implore healing, pardon, and compassion. They are therefore signs of the merciful love proclaimed in the Old and New Testaments. Especially the reading of the gospel makes us understand and almost feel that Jesus's miracles have their source in God's loving and merciful heart, which lives and beats in his human heart. Jesus performs them to overcome every kind of evil existing in the world, physical evil, moral evil, which is sin, and finally him who is the father of sin in humanity history, namely Satan. The miracles are therefore for man or for humanity, in harmony with the redemptive finality of his mission. They are works of Jesus which reestablish the good where evil had lurked, producing disorder and confusion. Those who accepted them and who were present at them were aware of this fact, so much so that according to Mark, they were exceedingly astonished and said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Look at this. An attentive study of the gospel text revealed that no other motive than love for humanity, no other motive but what? Love for merciful love explains the mighty deeds and signs of the Son of Man. Somebody say glory to God. Does everybody see that Jesus, when he healed, he was revealing? Look at this. Christ, BCC, the heart of God, cares to heal hurts, help people, teach how to have life and enjoy it, and hope in God. Listen at this. Because the next thing we hear is how the entire population, this is after Jesus heals the man in the house. Because the next thing we hear is how the entire population of the town was at the door of the house, bringing folks who were sick or possessed by demons and expecting something to happen. People know what works and they show up in droves. So after dinner, instead of having coffee and watching football, Jesus was expected to cure all the sick and demonized neighbors who were camping out on the front lawn. Of course, he responds in his characteristic way, and this is a hugely important point. Jesus heals the sick, not simply as a way of establishing his credentials as the Messiah, not just as a way of validating his teaching, but simply because this is what God does. The author Ken Blue writes, "The more secure we are in the belief that God's will is our health and that he personally works for it, the more freely we receive his healing and the more eagerly we work for it in others. Openly receiving healing for ourselves and confidently praying for others rest ultimately in our understanding of who God is. A theology of healing only arises when God is viewed as one who is concerned about sickness and is willing to do something about it." Come on, somebody. Amen. Look at what it says. We really have to come to embrace the idea that God is good. God is what? That's not just a slogan. He really is good. And all the time, all the way through that, his will for his people is shalom. God's will for his people is what? Healing, wholeness, restoration of body, mind, spirit, or emotion. This is amazing good news that changes lives. Jesus announces his intentions with the words, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news," Mark 1:15. This idea is central to Jesus's ministry. The expressions of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are used over 80 times in the synoptic gospels. The Greek word kingdom, basileia, means not only kingdom in the sense of a political or geographical realm, but also carries the notion of the activity of ruling or reigning. Thus, the kingdom of God means the rule and the reign of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's narrative to help us understand with great understanding that God is out for our best and our good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm grateful to be where we are in this rest of this message. We're here. Can I get you to turn your Bibles to Exodus 15? We're almost come to the conclusion. This is, I believe, the last slide or so. Can I get you to Exodus 15? We were unable to get this in the first service, but I am enjoying the opportunity to give all of the fullness of the word of God. And I can take my time with this last point. Please turn to this with you, if you will, even online. Exodus 15. I'd like to start at verse 22. Would you please follow along in whatever translation you have? "Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in the desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink." The water was too what? Bitter. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. "What are we going to drink?" they demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Other translation says, and God showed him a tree. God showed him a what? Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as the standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in this sight, obeying his commands and keeping all of his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. They were not God's people. For I am the Lord who what? Heals you. I am the Lord who what? Come on, y'all. This is a good point. I want to finish this up wrong and strong. Right and strong. Sorry about that. Listen. God says, I am the God that does what that? Hallelujah. How does this relate? Moses led the children of Israel through one body of water for deliverance. How many of you know that healing, I'm sorry, sickness and disease, this is worth your writing, is a bondage. Not only is it a bondage, but how many of you know when you've got something going on in your leg and it's making you limp, it's making you hurt, and now the rest of the muscles have to adjust and now other parts of you are hurting? That's a bitter circumstance. How many of you know that some of us are dealing with things sometimes physically? It may be a kidney, it may be a shoulder, and people are having to go get extra therapy and surgeries of whatever nature. But those circumstances, not a let alone the bills, are bitter. Glory to God. What does God say to Moses? Look at that tree. Look at that what? How does this relate to waters? Because the waters were bitter. But when Moses looked at the tree, he went to the tree. Some say he cut it off and he threw it in the water. And the water that was bitter became sweet. The Bible says the waters was made what? Sweet. In other words, the waters was healed. Come on, somebody. But why was the waters healed? Because this was a typology, a prophetic fulfillment that would come to pass, that tree represents the cross, and the cross represents Jesus, who was crucified, whipped and beaten, so that we could be healed. That tree, say tree. Wait a minute. But the water, say water. The water was healed. So you've got a tree and you've got water. Wait. Water is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. The river is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. I won't turn there. But can I get us to even less understand, well, why a tree? And how could a tree make something sweet? And why is it that that worked? And why is it that God showed Moses that? Because when you think about Genesis chapter 1 and the creation, you see on the third day, two things come forth on the third day. On the what? On the what day? On the third day, two things come forward. The first is God created the seas and separated the earth from the sea. And therefore, we now have bodies of water. And I say to you, a representation of the Spirit of God. But then I say to you, he brought forth the grass. He brought forth the trees, that in the tree would have its seed bearing fruit within itself. That itself is because the tree represented life. And now that tree that represents life was thrown in the water. And now the water was able to be drunk. just like when the Holy Spirit was able to be the rivers of living water after the tree had been completed. That was the cross. Glory to Jesus. That tree brought forth life, and the water was able to be drunk. Somebody say amen. Say tree. Do you remember that Jesus is called the branch from Jesse? Do you remember we read in Isaiah 53 that he would be like a tender plant? He would himself be, but do you remember this other part? He would be cut off. I want you to understand that through the tree, through the tree, through the tree, Revelations chapter 22. Go there if you will. Revelations chapter 22. Hallelujah. I'm going to think I'm going to have to choose King James, New King James on this one. The Bible says, starting at verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. This is the last chapter of the last book, of the last recording that we get to look forward to. And it says, and he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. And from the who? In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Was the tree of what? Which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its every month. And the leaves and the leaves and the leaves of the tree was for the healing of the nations. And look what it says. And there shall be no more curse. And there shall be no more what? Can I tell you in Galatians chapter 3 it says, for now cursed is the man who hangeth upon the tree. You see where Jesus is. He has bore every sin. He has bore every sickness. He has bore every infirmity. He has bore every hurt. I don't care if it's mental, physical, inside or out. Jesus heals us because he cares about us. Jesus heals us wherever we hurt. He's the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. And because of the river of life, all we've got to do is step in and be healed in salvation. Glory to God. You may stand on your feet. Glory to Jesus. I say to us this day, for all who are listening, for all that are watching, even if you're watching later in this week or you're watching right now or you're attending and you're in this room, Jesus, the Messiah, he heals. He heals hearts. He heals hurts. Listen, he heals minds. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. And thank you of how you have revealed him in Isaiah 53 as the serving and suffering servant, the sacrificial servant who paid it all. And therefore, I don't have any debts because Jesus paid it all. Therefore, God, right here in 2020, Lord, we look to you, Jesus, on high. We look to you to be our victory. We look to you to be the redemption. We look for you to be the reconciler of all humankind. We look for you, Lord God, to restore us back to a healthiness, a wellness, even in our thinking, in our speaking, God, in what we believe about you and what we believe about ourselves. You have given us a mind of Christ. Therefore, may we live and move and have our being totally summed up in your identity, Jesus. We are no longer sinners. We are saints saved by your grace, God. And we give you honor and glory. Stop at nothing, Jesus, to heal us, save us, deliver us. And we'll do the same. Freely we have received. Freely we will give, Lord God. So, Lord, may we move with compassion. If we're on a ball field, a court, if we're in an office, and if we're gathered around a Thanksgiving table, God, I pray that we would offer up not only prayers of thanksgiving, but prayers of righteousness, peace, and joy in your Holy Spirit, that the kingdom of God has come. And now for all, everyone can be healed. We give you honor. We give you glory. For yours is the kingdom and the power forever and ever. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Will you give the Lord a big shout? Come on, will you shout like he is everything? Like he's the Lord? We'll see you on next week. God bless you in Jesus' name.